This is Heather McFall interviewing Mr. Dale Berkheimer at his house on February the 21st, 1995. The subject of this interview is World War II and the Korean War.
You ready to talk?
Mm-hmm. You can tell me your name.
I'm Dale J. Berkheimer. I was born in Illinois. Edwin Martin and Emma Mabel Berkheimer. They were farmers, lived on a... Mother said they started housekeeping with furniture with two soap boxes, one for a table and one for Ed to sit on. So they learned how to work the hard way, and they told all the boys to work. Somehow or another, in 1920, they had a bad flu epidemic, which you might have heard about. My sister, my only sister, died with the flu in 1920. And shortly after that, we moved. I always thought my sister's death had something to do with my dad moving, but nobody else says so. We moved up from Mount Carmel to St. Francisville, and went to grade school there. High school, went to University of Illinois, and while I was going to University of Illinois, I came home, went to a PTA meeting, met a little girl by the name of Phoebe Kelsey. Oh dear. So, shorten up the story a little bit, she's now Phoebe Berkheimer. And we've been around together. She's a wonderful girl, and we've done a lot of things together, praise the Lord.
What other jobs? Did you have any jobs?
I never worked in my life. Well, we lived on the farm, and I was, about 22 years old, I guess. I graduated from university. I took Reserve Officers Training Center. ROTC. And the main reason I did it was to make some money. We got 25 cents a day. You know, at the same time I was in the National Guard, we got 25 cents every time we went to drill period. The quarters were 25 cents in those days. You didn't get too many of them. I worked at night. Worked 3 hours every day. It's a janitor. Today they'd call you an engineer of some kind. I worked for 35 cents an hour, all the time I could get. That for two major sports and carried a B average. Up until the time I graduated from high school, I went to school because I had to. After high school, I tried to get a job and found out I couldn't. Found out you needed an education, so I went back to help Dad on the farm. And of course, all the rest of I'm the youngest. All the rest of the boys have been through university. No, Bob hasn't yet. One day, I'll show you how easy it was to enroll in a college then. Dad says, son, we've had a good crop this year. You better go to university. I said, oh, no, Dad, I want to stay here and help you. He knew more than I did. So I went to school, and when I was a senior, the coach tried to talk me into not graduating so I could be eligible for wrestling for another year, and I said, heck, I'm not quite sure. He said, I'll fix it up so you'll be eligible. I said, yeah, but it's going to be a war. This was 1942, and there was a war coming. So I went ahead and graduated, and my PMS&T, Professor of Military Science and Tactics, told me, I'm going to give you a break, I'm going to send you to school. I said, yeah, you tell all the girls that. But it was. He sent me to artillery school at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And I've learned since then, all you young folks ought to remember, the more schooling you get, the better off you are. Every time you get a chance, go to school, learn all you can. You'll never have too much knowledge. And it wasn't long after the artillery school was over that, I was a farm boy, liked horses, and in the university, the first year I was in the horse cavalry. Second year I couldn't make my schedule fit, so I had to change for horse artillery. Never mind the difference. It's interesting, but I got to leave a lot of things out. We'll be here all night. So when I got graduating from artillery school, basic course, I asked to go to horse-drawn artillery unit there on Fort Sill. I went over and talked to Colonel Sargent, who was the commander. "Yeah, we'll take you." I went and told him. They laughed at me. Said, "Yeah, Colonel Sargent, take everybody. How would you like to go to the mule pack?" And I said, "No, sir." Guess where I went? So I went to the mule pack. At that time, I was out in Fort Lewis, Washington. We'd been out there for a while. Here come the Japs. Of course, we were sticking out like a sore thumb out there in the northwest. And please, please, please don't ever let the United States Armed Forces get down again to the place they were when the Japs bought, forgive me, Japanese. Oh, please, sir. When the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. We were out there in artillery unit. We were training with wooden sights and had oats bags for howitzers. We did have mules. But like Colonel Ruffner said, he had men that never had seen a mule. He had mules that never had seen a man. He had officers that never had seen either one. And I tell you, it was rough. And we were given the job of guarding the Olympic Peninsula. Now you get out your geography book and look at the Olympic Peninsula. That's a great big part of Washington State. It goes all the way from Coos Bay all the way up to the ocean and back down again. That was our job. We were scared. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. When the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor, I was in my room, fat, dumb, and happy. It was on Sunday, wasn't it? I had the day off, and that's unusual. So I went to church and slept in. And came back, and our unit was picked to go up and guard McCord Field. That was an airplane place up at someplace in Washington, obviously, Seattle. And I knew those bullies. I mean, bullies, they were. Sickle Joe Bolton said the way they picked people for the mule packs. They put a 2x4 up 6 feet high and double time the men under. Anybody that could run under that 2x4 was too small to get in a mule pack, and anybody smart enough to duck was too smart. The people that hit that 2x4 and bounced off, you got, that's not true, of course, but those guys were big. I was a runt. I was, and I weighed over 200. Thought I could whip a buzzsaw, of course I couldn't. They took us up there, and I gave those bullies their orders. I says, if anybody starts messing with these airplanes, you shoot him and then holler halt 3 times. Dead men don't talk. That's the kind of thing we were in then, the day that the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. And when we had reports, forgive me, I'm mixing up what happened on Pearl Harbor Day and what happened later, but when we were up guarding that peninsula, we had reports that the Japs had come ashore, and we didn't know whether they did or not. We went out there looking for it. Well, it was fun. I don't know. What's it?
Okay, you can tell me, what was your life like in the Army?
Oh, all sorts of ways. At that time, it was rough. I'm not kidding you. That March around the Olympic Peninsula, we'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the old man wanted you to be packed out. And of course, the IP, the initial point, at 7 o'clock or whatever the time was. And if you were 5 minutes late, then you got up 5 minutes earlier the next morning. If you crossed it 5 minutes early, you got to sleep 5 minutes later the next morning. You talk about people moving around and throwing ropes in the morning, they got pretty good at it. And of course, it was muddy and wet, and you have muddy clothes. It's not too bad as long as you're not muddy, but you can get muddy and miserable if you can get dry. Now, as far as enemy action was concerned, we had reports, but we saw no enemy action there. Then when we got back, and we did get back eventually after things quieted down a little, we lived in the barracks. Barracks is a big, long, straight building with an upstairs in it. On one end was a couple of rooms, and the rest of it was just a big, long hall. And you lived in there. Sometimes you'd be bunk beds, one sleeping above the other. Sometimes it'd be just cots. But you had good food, very little pay. The pay then, believe it or not, for an Army traveler is $21 a month. And a lot of the soldiers broke all the time. After your money was spent, you could get, they called it a PX check. You'd go to the orderly room and sign your life away for a PX check that was worth so many dollars or so many. You tear off like nickels and buy them something like a stub on a ticket. You tear off a nickel's worth, you could go buy a nickel's worth at the PX, and that had to last you. And of course, they kept a record of it. You couldn't charge too much because you had to pay for it next payday. But we had it was rough, but you had to learn, you had to be taught. It was a hard life, but then we worked and lived together because we had a common cause, and that was protecting these United States, and we believed that that was an important job, and I still think it was.
I'm sure you met a lot of interesting people there, too.
There were some very, very interesting people in there. I told you about what Colonel Ruffner said about his man. He said, we had a man in the unit named Toss the Shell. We had out behind the stable, there's a railroad track. We get these remount mules out there, and you put a gun load on one of them. Of course, it's made of metal. That remount mule didn't like that on there too good, so he'd buck it off. You've seen cowboys trying to stay on the top side of a horse. Those mules didn't like that on there. One load had the rear trail, a sight, and a bunch of other things. One time, Neil did a lot of bucking and finally unloaded his load, and old Possible Shell says, boy, I'll bet that bubble was having a terrible time. The bubble, you level that bubble to on the sight, when you fired it, you set your sight where you want it and level the bubble. When you level the bubble, that'd raise the muzzle of your howitzer to whatever far you wanted to shoot. One time I had a mule with a sore on him. Stable sergeant was putting, we called it blue bottle. It burned like fire. Had Possible Shell over in that mule. He daubed that medicine on him. The mule would jump and trot around. Possible Shell was supposed to hold a mule. Directly, Possible Shell says, maybe you better put some of that stuff on me so I can keep up with him. You got all kinds of, and there are a lot of real good, solid citizens. And there's always something funny. There's always somebody that's the life of the party, just like school. It's just people are human. But we had a thing to do, and we tried to do it.
What was your rank in the Army?
Oh, it started all the way from private to eventually, when I got out of the Army, eventually I was Lieutenant Colonel.